the Red River Crops Conference today, visiting with Dr. Bart Fisher, Ag Policy Center there at the Ag Food Policy Center at Texas A&M, the co-director there. And you've been talking to us about, man, what a topic. You know, the farm bill is going to expire in 2023, and you've set in on a couple of farm bills, I know, with Congressman Frank Lucas. But, man, this is going to be a big overhaul.
No, you bet. And the current leaders of the ag committees have said they're going to get to work this year. And so I think we're already starting to ramp up. But, yeah, it's the last couple of farm bills have just been, I mean, have been incredibly tough because you've got this dynamic where you have 435 members of the House, but maybe only 65 or 70 that are from rural districts. And, you know, we talk a lot about this rural-urban divide and the understanding of what really goes on in rural America. And so it makes those members like Mr. Lucas who represent, rural America, it makes them incredibly important. But there's a lot of folks who just don't understand it. And so when it comes time to moving something as complex as a farm bill, it just makes it very difficult because there's so many people who know so little about what actually goes into that bill.
And we're still a little ways out, but you talked about some things that we need to be thinking about prior to the new farm bill. Touch on those for us.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that, they talked about here today was just the backdrop against which we'll write this. You know, we're in this dynamic where, we're writing a farm bill, but the vast majority of it is in food stamps. And that, that was a concern the last couple of bills. We heard a lot of members talking about that. But then this past summer, the Biden administration made an administrative change that increased SNAP spending by about 25%, which just makes the share of the farm bill that's in food stamps even higher. And so you've got that dynamic at play. You're also against this backdrop, where our country just owes a tremendous amount of money. And we're talking about, there's another spending package right now, the Build Back Better Act, that would add almost another $2 trillion to that debt on top of the trillions that have been spent trying to respond to COVID. And so, it is not going to surprise me at all. It always seems to happen when we get to a farm bill debate. Suddenly everyone wants to talk about, reining in spending, and it's, agriculture and rural America then that gets to navigate those stormy waters. And if you're a producer that's right now looking at, at input prices that are in the stratosphere and trying to figure out how to cash flow, you've already got enough uncertainty, and that's to say nothing of all the other uncertainties that you face. And so to also be facing uncertainty in a farm bill process, it's a long frustration of mine, but it's the reality, and it's something we have to deal with, and it's why we have members of Congress who are very good at what they do, and I'm grateful that they're in place.
Well, you also talked about that $1 trillion debt and how we could possibly even think about making back some of that money or paying back some of that money. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been very interesting, I think, over the entire COVID response over the last couple of years, just in looking at how much the federal government has spent, because the years before that, I think back to what, the farm bill that Mr. Lucas wrote in 2014, that farm bill was one of the few, maybe the only in history, that actually cut money. It cut $23 billion because that was the requirement at the time to get anything done. And there was a tremendous amount of focus on fiscal discipline. And, to contrast that with what we've seen the last couple of years, it's just a night and day difference. And now, to the point where, the debt held by the public is almost, the same size as GDP. It's 100% of GDP, which is where we were back in World War II. And so it raises the question of, at what point are we going to get back? Is the conversation going to shift back to that? And we haven't seen a lot of indication of it, but we're also now facing some pretty significant inflation that's hitting most Americans right in the pocketbook. And so I suspect that conversation is going to continue to ramp up. And it just goes back to the point we were just talking about, that it's amazing that it happens to ramp up as we start talking about a farm bill. So again, it's just it is what it is, but it is a significant challenge.
Well, with some of the programs you talked about today, STACS versus ARC and PLC, how is that all going to come into play?
Over the last couple of farm bills, we've gotten to the point where we have tools that are very specific, very refined, and the idea was that we're trying to make sure that we're only paying when farmers experience losses, and that these things are really attuned so that we're only spending when we really need to. And so we do have these tools now that are very specific, but it also, they're very specific dealing with very specific needs, but it also means we have other risks that aren't being accounted for, right? Again, this dynamic right now in fertilizer prices. Farmers are just, taking it in the pocketbook. There's nothing that steps in out there when you have this huge divergence on input costs. And so I suspect that will enter into the next conversation. But right now, for producers on the ground, they're trying to make decisions for this crop year. They have until March 15th to go into their Farm Service Agency office to decide between things like ARC and PLC. And nowadays, the decision they make there also influences the decisions that they make on federal crop insurance as well. And so the thing I've been telling producers that I talk to around the country as I've traveled is that with prices where they are right now, you know, your traditional farm safety net, you know, that comes out of the farm bill is not really designed to pay. When prices are high, it turns off. And so what that means is it makes crop insurance more important. It means making sure that you have robust coverage in place to be able to weather a storm. And there is a lot of flexibility there, but it all is also very complicated. And so I encourage producers to really have that conversation with their crop insurance agent.
Because right now is the time to be thinking about what you want to see as a producer in the Farm Bill or what's going to impact you. So what kind of things should producers be thinking about priority-wise that they would like to see benefit them in the Farm Bill?
Sure. I think, well, in the here and now, you know, particularly in this part of the country, in southwest Oklahoma here today, we have, the sales closing date on cotton is quickly approaching on the 28th of February. And so they're going to be making decisions about things like stacks and SCO and individual coverage levels. And so I encourage them to get in to talk to their insurance agent sooner rather than later, because that will also then inform the decision they make at the FSA office. Beyond that, though, I encourage folks, it's very easy to see Washington as a far-off thing and to be disengaged, but, Washington works in part because you have members up there who know what they're doing in representing rural America. Again, guys like Mr. Lucas that I've mentioned, who I shudder to think of what farm policy would look like if you didn't have folks, like him in place who are just incredibly good at what they do. You also have a lot of farm groups that weigh in on that process, and all those farm groups are run by farmers who take time to engage in the process. And so I really encourage folks, I know it takes time and effort, but I really encourage folks to get involved in the process. Show up at town hall meetings and meet with members of Congress, but get involved in those groups that give them a voice. Make a trip to Washington to make sure your voice is heard, because there's so few people there who understand what you do and who are speaking on your behalf. And the ones who are there are really good, but they need help from time to time. So I would stay engaged in the process and let them know, what you're dealing with.
Well, Dr. Fisher, thank you so much. They're about to kick us out of here.
Great to talk to you, Casey. Thanks for having me.